Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're studying from the Sermon on the Mount. And after the Lord had given his teaching concerning the making of judgments, he said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Matthew 7 and verse 6. Our lesson will concentrate on just this one single verse, taking note of what things are included in this teaching. At first, these words may seem extremely harsh because of the comparison and the analogy made of dogs and swine to people. But rather than being harsh statement, it is one that suggests that there are limits beyond which one need not go in trying to convert the lost. There is a definiteness in this teaching, and many people equate anything that is definite with harshness. Some would likely rise up at this point and even criticize the Lord for being too hard on sinners. Dogs and swine are beasts, and they have no sense of appreciation for things sacred. They have no power of discernment between things holy and anything else. They have no sense of values regarding such things as relate to the soul and the spirit of the human being. When something valuable is placed before them, they might ignore it or treat it as if it had no value. They show no respect or concern for the refined than they would for the unrefined and the worthless. To them, a garbage can is of much value as a finely set dinner table. Dogs and swine will even trample underfoot things precious, not realizing and not caring about what they do or the value of what they trample. Friend, what Jesus is teaching is that the way of truth, that way which the disciples were soon to proclaim to the world, that way is holy and sacred and deserving of the greatest respect because that way is of God. And yet, Jesus knew that there would be those who were so evil, so profane and impious and wicked, that they would have no reluctance to treat it with disrespect through ridicule, indignities, and contempt. Not only would the truth be so treated, but those who taught the truth and tried to follow it would also be subjected to contemptible treatment. And when the Lord talks about some being like dogs and swine, he was simply referring to the nature of their character and their attitude toward the very thing for which he would soon give his life. Now, we surely see many manifestations in our own day when things holy and sacred are being subjected to the most abominable injustices and blasphemies. So-called worship services have been turned into periods of licentious music, lascivious dancing, activities more akin to the roadhouse and to the dance floor than those that you would expect in a house of worship. The teaching of the Scripture is sometimes presented in terms that are vulgar and cheap and degrading, likening unto the jive talk of the most uncouth nature. The truth of the Bible is made to appear to condone the very things our Lord has condemned. Someone will say, "The good book says," when they have no real respect for the Bible, and they misapply and distort what it says. It is not unheard of for people to quote Scripture in a fashion as to give it a so-called double meaning, one which is evil and sinister. Have you listened closely to the so-called gospel songs that people perform? The beat of them is as jazzy as the most worldly sounds. The singers jump up and down and dance around like rock and roll noisemakers. Their bodily movements are as sensual as anything you have ever seen or heard among the most noted reprobates. Possibly this is the holy wow the digressive liberals who have torn the church apart with their heresy would like to present for the baby boomers. In the address of God, some think it is the end thing to refer to the Heavenly Father in trite, good old buddy terms, failing to honor and glorify His name and His deity. Prayer is made as if it were just a conversation between two next-door neighbors. Reverence and respect is totally lacking. The name of deity is repeatedly used in profanity, and only those who have the attitude of swine and dogs toward sacred things would do such a thing as that. There is not very much about God that has escaped the sacrilegious conduct of the irreligious and the ungodly and the degenerate. It's a great sport to them to mock that which is considered holy and sacred by Christians. As one studies the conversions revealed to us in the Bible, he soon becomes aware that those who were converted were people who, at least, had some sense of responsibility toward things higher and nobler than they. Those who revel in the deliberate malignities are seldom touched by the appeal of the gospel. They simply have no use for it, whatever. To them, it is something at which to poke ridicule and scorn. How disgusting it is to see religious people attempt to win over such degenerates by making the gospel appear to go along with them. It is most improper to present the gospel in the language of the ungodly. For instance, some years ago, Billy Graham attended a rock and roll revelry in Florida that was inhabited by the long-haired, unwashed, free-sex, drug-using degenerates. That they needed the gospel like everyone else, probably more than most, is not to be questioned. But to talk about being turned on with Jesus, as he did, or being on a trip with the Lord, being a swinger with Christ, friend, that is to drag the holy and sacred through the muck and the mire of the worst sort. To talk about the man upstairs, or to address professional golfers and identify Jesus as the greatest pro of them all, why, that's degrading to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whatever happened to speaking as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11? To some, this is communicating. But plain language is dignified speech. That will communicate. To attempt to present the truth in the garb of sin is repulsive. One preacher said he understood why some did not study the Bible. It was because they did not like a book where the hero gets killed in the middle of it. Friend, that's sacrilege toward the Word of God. Some have even called Jesus the first hippie. This is what Jesus was talking about when he talked of casting pearls before swine. The pearls of truth are being trampled underfoot to the disgrace of those who do it, but also to the dishonor of Almighty God. The excuse by religious people for talking to others in this terminology is, as they say, to communicate on their terms. That's what they say. But does it do it? Friend, there's no evidence whatever that it causes any respect for the Christ. It only suggests that the manner of life and the way of speaking that characterizes such wicked people may be acceptable before God, just as they are. They need to learn some new words. It actually repels even the wicked from the truth to hear truth cheapened in such fashion. It is a shallow and sickening compromise and manifests a spiritual sickness among those who would attempt to convey the gospel in this way. They crave being accepted by anybody, even to the dishonor of God. And while there will be those who will speak disparagingly of sacred things, shall we encourage it by doing the same thing ourselves? Those kind of people do not want the truth. They love their sins so much they only mock the truth. To present the truth before them repeatedly, only to see and hear them abuse it, is to cast pearls before dogs and swine. Of course, we should take the gospel to all the world. But did not Jesus teach that there would come times to shake off the dust of your feet, go elsewhere? Matthew 10 and verse 14. Did not Paul actually do such a thing? Acts 13:51. Are we obligated to continue presenting the truth only for it to be trampled and ridiculed? This is the very thing Jesus' teaching ought not be done. The truth ought to be more respected than to allow it to happen. We may not keep people from denouncing the truth, but we can keep from placing it before them in order for them to keep on denouncing it. Leave them and go elsewhere. They have denied themselves the right to hear it anymore. There are those who reject the truth, but are not blasphemous against it. There are those who may not agree with the truth, but they're at least respectful toward it. These are not the dogs and the swine under consideration. I once had some Mormon elders to come to our home and present their so-called testimony. and I respectfully listened and allowed them to complete what they wanted to say. When I began to question certain things about their doctrine, these young boys, called elders, became very angry, and they denounced me as a dog and swine because I would not receive their teaching as they presented it. They walked out the door almost shouting something about Joseph Smith being God's prophet. Friend, just because someone does not accept a thing does not mean that they're a dog or swine of which Jesus is speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount. Even when one is respectful in denying the truth, he is not among dogs and swine. And I say to you, to deny Mormon doctrine is certainly not denying the truth. Jesus is teaching that holy things and holy matters deserve holy treatment. It is not lack of love for the lost for us to withhold teaching them truth when their repeated reaction is to trample the sacred truth underfoot. Rather, it is a manifestation of the love for the truth and respect for the holy to not persist in doing what results in the truth being smeared by one of the devil's servants. That's exactly what Jesus Christ is teaching when he said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.